Rise and Shine St. Louis, it's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Today on the road at Billy G's in Kirkwood. Hello again, everybody.
Well, hi, Tim. How are you this morning? Yeah. It's a great feeling being at Billy G's. They're setting up the festivities for our brunch. That looks like a Bloody Mary bar right in front of us, Tim.
Doug, it's unreal.
Yeah. Normally we sit outside on the patio, and they have that little fireplace out there, but it's 7 degrees right at the moment. So
But we could snuggle up with our listeners and feel the warmth and body hair.
No, we don't need to do that. Fred from the Poor Part of Nails already brought me my Arnold Palmers.
Thank you, Fred. Nice hug and a little smooch.
Well, thanks for the Arnold Palmers anyway there, Fred.
It's hot when our listeners come up and make out with us.
Well, I wouldn't call it a make out session. He just simply handed me the Arnold Palmers proper.
But there was an embrace.
Well,
you may step down.
There might have been kind of a bro hug there. I was just really thrilled to get the beverages.
So what are we going to do, knock back a little booze this morning and just
talk it over about the good old days and maybe talk about some dames?
Va-va-va-voom.
That Anne Heche.
We are in the BP credit card 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's a program that solicits your participation by calling in the Appliance Discounter phone lines, the Appliance Discounters with 6 area locations. Online at theappliancediscounters.com, a new location to come in Concord Village off of South Lindbergh. You can call in at 855-282-8255 or text in 855-282-8255. Really just store it in your phone as 855-CUB-TALK. Plus, you can email in for our Hot Shots email today. 2 tickets to the Gateway Fighting Series, 7:30 p.m. Saturday night at Chaffetz Arena. Get 50% off your tickets for this event with listener rewards on InsideSTL.com, or just win it by winning the Hot Shots email today. And coming up at 9 o'clock on InsideSTL.com, and we only have 50 of these, The listener rewards for Friendlies at 3791 Bayless in South County goes live on InsideSTL.com, and you get a $50 gift certificate, $50 of fried chicken for only $25, and we only have 50 to sell. That will go online at 9 a.m. on InsideSTL.com. Plus, we have the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week, and as mentioned earlier, our Hot Shots email today, and our Wheelhouse Picks of the Week. Doug, playoff football this weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to break down the Raiders and Texans in about 32 minutes.
I don't want to do that.
And then get your take on the Dolphins secondary and how they will counter Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown.
Do they still have the Blackwood brothers in the secondary?
Who I think you want to stay away from.
Lyle those. And Glenn?
Those? Yeah, I think they do. I think.
And Mark Duper.
Jake Scott is back there.
Jake Scott, yeah. Yeah, I would think so.
And I got
Bob Brzezinski, probably still one of their linebackers.
I got a lock of the week that will continue my trend of never miss. Lock of the week, you just bet it, and it's like
There's only five thing. Football games, and we're picking them all. So what do you got an NBA pick tonight?
I got an over.
You like the Bucks?
No, as you know, I'm a sharp. So what you see is just a small slate of games. I'm taking the over for one of them. I checked the metrics on it, and 8 years? I think you said 8 years. I haven't missed a lock of the week, so that will continue. I gave you Air Force. I said, give the points. It's not going to be close, boys. I checked the metrics.
Would you rather watch the Packer game in the comfort of your own living room or be there for the game when it's 10 degrees out?
Well, to be honest with you, Doug, based on the fact that I, for work, have to be at a lot of games. To me, the opportunity to watch any game from my couch is heaven on earth, so I always up for that.
Yeah. I think I've gotten to the age where I'd rather be comfortable and sit out there and just be miserable. Usually I'd much rather go than watch.
And you invite a couple of the cute neighborhood
guys.
No,
it's got nothing to do with the other fellas. No. I'm just not much into sitting at a 7-8 degree stadium. I don't think I could do it anymore.
Unless you get real boozed up.
Well, I don't usually dive into the bottle.
That would help on a cold day, though.
Well, I don't think that it would. It would give you a false sense of help.
Numb you up a little bit.
I don't think so.
I would love to see a game in Green Bay. I've never done that. I would like to see that.
I haven't been there either. I mean, I've been there, but not for a game. It was like for a pregame Rams-Packers playoff game. We went for the media day up there, but didn't stay for the game.
Why?
How was it?
The game was here.
Right. And Brett Favre was picked off like four times.
Yeah.
The Aeneid had one for a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you were going to have to broadcast from a parking lot, obviously you don't do that from games. Why not be in a parking lot in Green Bay?
Well, I
went
in the parking lot for that one. It's generally the Cardinal playoff games where I set up shop in the parking lot. I can really get a nice view there.
So Texans and Raiders will do battle.
Yeah, quarterback thing, you know.
What?
Boy, they got a quarterback thing there.
What about the Dolphins? They got a quarterback thing,
yeah,
don't they?
Blackwoods, Dalton Marino, I guess, yeah.
Killer Bees?
Yeah. Oh, Killer Bees, Betters, and Baumhauer, and
Bo Camper.
Brzezinski, and Bo Camper. Yeah, A.J. Dewey was on that team, but not one of the Bees, as you know. Okay, there's our football coverage.
Talking about Dolphins that haven't played in years. Were you ever a Dolphin fan, being that you
But yeah, when I moved down there and covered them all the time, I became a Dolphin fan. They were a good team in the 80s.
And Don Shula was a delight to cover?
It wasn't so much of a delight to cover, no.
But you liked that Larry Zonka.
He was gone by the time I got
but
there.
But you liked him.
I liked to watch him, sure.
Howard Twilley was a friend of yours.
That Don Shula was a snootful.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Who was more difficult, Earl Weaver or Don Shula? Would you describe Don Shula as a bantam rooster?
No, Earl Weaver was a little bantam rooster. Mm. Yeah, well, it was just that one day with him. But Shula was like 6 years, and he was not very forgiving of anybody.
What do you mean, if you were ever critical?
If he ever noticed that one of the people in the media corps was new, he would find a way to rip him immediately. Like he'd come over and you're standing too close to the line where the media is not allowed to be there, or what kind of question was that, even if it was a reasonable question, just to let you know right away that he was the boss and you should be intimidated.
Did he ever go after you?
Oh, yeah, he went
like
after
what?
Everybody
give me,
at some
give
point.
An example of how he would go after you.
I got the what kind of question is that thing.
Well, that's the how big for you, who's big for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that was one of my first questions. Hey, Shoes, who's big for you?
And he said, what kind of question is that? And you were like, what? Is it me? Is it him? It's the coach.
No.
Did you call him coach? Hey.
No, everyone called him Shoes. I didn't call him Shoes. It was coach. Yeah. I didn't call him much of anything after he yelled at me for the question.
Did you ever go over the line? You said there was
no, but there were some who did. Yeah. He was the king down there.
At the
nobody would cross him.
At preseason workouts with the Chiefs the coach at the time, and they went through a bunch. It might have been Gunther Cunningham at the time or some. Media was not allowed to sit or kneel because the players weren't allowed. So a new media guy would come and sit down on the sideline or in a chair. Camera guy would take a knee, and all of a sudden PR would swarm.
Yeah. I think they did that here for a while. I think the Rams did that.
I never was subjected to that.
Right. That should indeed be one of the football team's concerns, is if some 60-year-old media member is sitting down while they practice. You could see how that would throw you completely off your game as a football team. I don't think they're really good coaches. I don't think they worry about stupid stuff like that. You think Belichick's worried about who's sitting down at his practice?
No.
No, I don't either. This is if you can't control big things, you start looking for little things to pick at. Little things you can control, maybe.
You think we do that with this show? Like, we can't control content, you know, to make it quality, so I start saying to Seymour, hey, your chair's a little too close, move over.
Similar to that kind of thing, yeah, I'd say so.
Maybe there's a lesson to be learned from Shoes.
Yeah.
I always take everything as an opportunity to learn.
To learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't like to be yelled at. Just football, right? Just sports. You're going to yell at people?
As a media guy, though, that's part of the deal. You're going to get yelled at sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
If you're covering Tony La Russa daily, as nice a guy as he is.
Now, did he really yell at you, or did he just argue with you?
He yelled at me a couple of times.
Did he?
For really innocuous. I mean, I'm hardly the gotcha guy.
But there was a few times you interviewed him. He still had the shaving cream on his face. Maybe you shouldn't have gone into the shower after him.
Well, Doug, he was in his office, and I actually tried to dab the cream away with a towel.
Yeah. Well, keep your hands off the skipper.
Sometimes he'd eat a bowl of cereal in the middle of the interview, and I'd try to move his hand away from the spoon so he could finish what he was saying.
I contend that Tony La Russa has been interviewed more than any other human being on earth. I think after 30-some-odd years of managing and doing interviews before every game, after every game, in the off season, I don't know that there's anybody that in any sport, in any phase of America that's been interviewed more than
for anybody. Everybody listening
maybe
out
Tim
there,
Connelly.
I mean, you think I'm being unreasonable? It's the first week of the season. I mean, you guys, I don't understand this. Now, you're going to tell me, who are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that Yadier doesn't drive in big runs? You're going to tell me Albert can't hit? You're going to tell me the second baseman shortstops haven't hit?
Well,
David Freese, you don't think he's going to hit?
Well, I think he might.
You think Matt's going to hit?
No problem.
You think Kobe's going to hit? You think Berkman's going to hit?
Maybe not.
The answer is no to all those things? I mean,
no.
You get me? Is that what you accomplish your goal three, four times you ask so I get excited and get upset? I mean, that's not fair. It really
is. No, it isn't. I'm sorry.
Who's big for you?
That was Cardinals were struggling to score runs. What year was that?
Oh, 2011.
Was it the first year, first week of 2011? They struggled the first week there, and
I believe it
got
was 2011.
About three questions in a row about what's wrong with the offense.
Skipper had enough, is what he did.
Yeah, he sure did.
We're at Billy G's. Come on up. It is a TMA listener brunch. Brunch starting at 8 a.m. Come on up and enjoy the fun and games. Doug, it is not free for whatever reason.
Load it up. I'm here for the free food.
Someone.
What do you got for us, Cookie?
Look, someone had.
I thought it was free.
No, someone had to point out that it was not, in fact, free.
Yes,
because
someone.
That was me. Because I felt like folks might make the two-hour journey.
Two-hour journey?
Well, Broderick would do that. You know, if he knew there was free food here, no matter where he was, he would arrive somehow. No, I had to pick up an earpiece. So there is a nominal fee involved with this, Doug.
Oh, I think that's fair.
Yeah. I agree.
Are we supposed to be feeding all of St. Louis?
I'm shocked that I even have to say, it's not free.
Well, someone on the panel during spring training felt every brunch was free.
I don't know who you're talking about. It wasn't me because I was there to pick you up.
Once.
And after I would get you, I would say, hey, there's other people here too. Hey, anyone need a ride to the ballpark? While I was there, I thought, you look at there? There's
what about
some
eggs. The days where you didn't have to pick me up? You would still...
I was just there to make sure that you didn't need to get picked up.
Makes me giggle. Hey, I remember you asking the chef, who's big for you?
Well, you got to make your way around. I don't want anyone to be stranded there. That was the Embassy Suites. Sure it was. And a lot of those people were there to watch spring training, but they couldn't get a lift. That was my purpose. That was my job. Anyone here need a ride to the ballpark? And occasionally I would take a senior.
The rental car you had last year couldn't fit more than two people in anyway.
I was on a wing and a prayer with that one.
And didn't it, like, disassemble on you at some point?
It crumbled a little bit on 995.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
Ah, yes, crumbled.
Guys, love that Tony La Russa clip. Great to have the TMA skipper back today. That's from the 314. Hey, Tim, my boss wouldn't let me take a vacation day to come to Billy G's, so I guess I'm going to come call in sick. It's from the 314. Doug, do you have a problem with our listeners taking vacation days to come here?
Yeah, I guess he wants us just to send the food to his house at no charge. Has there ever been a radio show anywhere that said, hey, come on by for breakfast, and it's all free? Anyone within the sound of our voice can come and eat for nothing. Who does that?
I think 101.
We'd have a line. We'd have a line from here to Fenton if we said yes. Billy G's is here, and all the food is free.
I'm not trying to take shots at our afternoon show, but I know for a fact that Brad Thompson personally pays for a lunch buffet out of his own wallet every single day.
I didn't know that.
And invites listeners there. Brad, thank you for that. Cam or TJ to step up and do the same at our place. Doug is like, really? Doug is
like, that's kind of an interesting,
because I could swing by there.
Wow, I could probably stop by. Just to see if anyone needs a ride anywhere.
I'm watching you, Doug. That comes from the hipster of Tower Grove South. So that means one of the people here before the thing started.
Oh, he's vile, too.
How does Doug look today?
He's appeared many times on the suspension good? Longue.
Bigger what? Than he thought.
Bigger. In what way bigger? Bigger head? I do have a bucket head.
If you watched Marcia Clark and Christopher Darden, you'd know, as a prosecutor, you never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. So I wouldn't pursue that line of questioning.
Well, what could be the wrong answer?
Vile. Something vile.
Well, I wouldn't expect anyone to be vile, not on this show or any other.
Especially in the new year.
Yeah. Especially while I'm holding the suspension log, you'll brought to you by Llewellyn Pub.
And, Doug, the big news, Tim, is that Seymour found one of Doug's suspension pens brought to us by
Right Business Products.
Right Business Products, because, you know, they were all stolen. And Seymour found one with the remote kit. Unfortunately, it was a broken pen.
Oh, no. It's like taunting you.
Yeah, someone stole it, broke it, and returned it.
Hey, Tim, I'm going gentlemen. To quit my job in Columbia and drive up to hang with you guys and eat free food. Thanks. It's from the Como Cuddler.
No, it's not free, Cuddler.
Nominal fee. Now, some of our folks are here, and they're already boozing, Tim.
Yeah, they want to have a little taste, Doug. Some people like to have a nip before they start their day.
I guess. It's awfully early.
But it's Friday.
It's awfully early to
but
be
it's
taken,
Friday.
I guess.
We had a little pony last night with our client appreciation night, and then also kind of a one-year anniversary of the passing of our colleague Joe Strauss. So a number of people from the Post-Dispatch, and then also 590 and InsideSTL.com got together last night. And it was great to see, and I know that meant a lot to Alexa Strauss, Joe's daughter, and his wife, Diana, to have all those people up there. And I'm always, as I say a million times, I'm always uncomfortable asking people who work with me to come to an event outside of work hours. But so many people did. I mean, for real. Like, I think almost everybody from the station was there.
Thought it was going to be free food.
Well, there should have been.
I mean, first of all, but
if you paid, that's not good. Did you pay for something?
No.
Oh, okay. It was free.
No, I just assumed
it was free.
Did you eat there?
No,
I didn't either. But I just felt. First of all, the sponsors that take care of us. We wouldn't be here without the sponsors and the listeners. So
and the listeners support the sponsors. God bless them all.
And, you know, and Joe's wife and daughter were both there last night. You know, we think about that guy all the time, especially as you get around baseball or, you know, close to the season. Last year, the folks that cover the stuff on a regular basis were, you know, every day, every other day, it'd be like, it's not the same without Joe. So there was a lot of good reasons to show up in force last night. I'm glad folks did.
Yeah. A lot of people from the Post-Dispatch and Dern, or everybody from the radio station was there. And that was cool because I am always say, please don't feel obligated to come. I don't keep score. It's not like, oh, well, you came, so now you get this. It's not the way. It's just coming out of the goodness of your heart. And if you have other things going on, I know people have families and other responsibilities. So that's why, because when we worked for previous operations, they would keep score, and I always felt uncomfortable with that, and I didn't like it. And I never thought I would be in a position where I would be asking people to come to events. But the compliment is to the staff and then everybody from the Post-Dispatch, and then a lot of our sponsors were in attendance last night as well. And I know that to see all of those people there meant a lot to Diana Strauss and Alexis Strauss. So thank you very much for that.
I did not get a chance to have the wings. You have very nice wings at that place. But, you know, I wanted to mingle a little bit. And when you stop and you order, it kind of slows you down. Then you get the wing sauce on your hand. It's yeah. Wings.
Oh, your boy paws.
They're not a good, what's the word, social food.
Wings? No, unless you have pincers.
Right.
They're a little easier to handle if you have pincers instead
you
of
you just
fingers.
Lock into a wing and it's secure.
Lock in on the bottom of the peg leg.
Peg leg. Heck me.
It was a nice turn. That place was packed. You know, it's a big parking lot, and you kind of had to circle for a parking space, and I had to park in front of Gold's Gym. And a couple of the boys were, like, giving me looks, and I said, don't make me come in there and throw down a couple of squats. I have to go to a station event.
They could tell you worked out just as you walked to the
They gave me, like, a little tip of the cap.
Right. Yeah.
Doug, what do you make of the rumor that Mickey Rooney never consummated his marriage to Ava Gardner? Thanks, the Dogtown Astro.
Why would that be a rumor? Mickey Rooney was married 6 or 7 times, right? I suppose he consummated quite a few marriages.
Was he a ladies' man?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Mickey Rooney was.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him as the trainer in the Black Stallion.
Well, yeah, among other things.
He didn't strike me as a guy.
He was a little guy. He was one of the biggest stars in Hollywood there
for
a couple
decades.
Didn't
he do like a lot of those boy films where he was like, I know how we'll save the town. Yeah. We'll put on a show.
Mm-hmm. And overacting like the Dickens. But he would sing and dance and overact, talk about Judy Garland.
And the ladies loved it.
Apparently they did.
Six or seven marriages?
Yeah, I think so.
What was his secret? You think he was hung like a Spanish fighting bull?
I expect he probably was.
Do you know what a size queen is?
Guy who's into big.
Do you know what a bear is?
Big fat guy. A lot of body hair, like a bear.
Yeah.
What was the name of the last gay bar you went to?
The Buggy Whip in Palm Springs. Last time I was there, I went home with a guy named Jose.
Eight times.
Seamaster is looking up Mickey Rooney's marriages.
Eight marriages.
Eight marriages, Doug.
Yeah, that's not a bad run. And some of the biggest starlets in Hollywood, too, right?
Is that right? Who was he married to?
You got a list there? See
Ava Gardner. And, Doug, that was never consummated?
Well, I'm sure that it was.
What was his longest? He had a couple of six-year runs. There's an eight-year run in there. But some were just for year to year, pretty much. Ooh, his last one.
Who was that?
Chamberlain. Oh, I'm sorry. Jan Chamberlain.
Jan Wilt's daughter, maybe.
All right. That's a fun fact. She's still with us. We get her on, see if they ever consummated the marriage, and then just let her go.
No, they were separated in 2012. At that age, like, what happens? Like the wife won't let him watch Judge Judy or something? Like, what could come up at that age where you realize you have to part ways?
Doug, maybe he was a snootful.
Speaking of Wilt Chamberlain, remember he said he consummated 20,000? Dates, should we call them? 20,000 women he said he had?
Yeah, someone did the math. It had to be like five a day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the math.
Guys, 1380 The Woman is live at Bob Evans, and they're giving out free brown gravy in the men's bathroom. That's from Mayor Slay's Taint Tickler.
Oh, jeez.
Is that true? I thought they disbanded operations relatively after starting up operations.
Yeah. I went to the one there at South Lindbergh at 44 a couple times. Now it's gone.
And was 1380 The Woman broadcasting?
I think they were, as I look back on that.
Guys, I can tell you firsthand that we couldn't even keep the electricity on, more or less giving out free food.
There's an official report from the inside.
The woman station.
What's the status of...
Hold on.
Lightning.
I love
the woman station was just something that hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I remember, too, like when he was explaining that, how everyone was like, yeah, wow. That lightning bolt cost that guy a lot of money. A lot of money.
Iggy, you were the executive producer of 1380 The Woman, correct?
Top of my resume, Timmy.
And in your book, which you're working on, have you gotten to the point where you've written about that?
No, I mean, I've gotten notes and little things I've put into my folders, but that'll probably
give us an anecdote, perhaps.
Well, I mean, I have
just a little teaser for the book.
Yeah.
Well, stories about meetings that took place and shows that
give us one.
You want me to name names?
No, just give us.
I can't give you an anecdote without naming names.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
The morning show. For this,
Doug, this morning show on 1380 The Woman drove Iggy up the wall.
I think it was Rockin' Your Mornings, I think was the name of it, maybe with something like that.
Marketing department.
But it was two girls who were big in the 70s in classic rock radio, and I guess Smash thought it was a great idea to bring them back and do woman radio. And all the one chick talked about was who she banged. And every day, you know, me and my boy, we broke the bed
air?
Last night. We broke the bed last night. I mean, he really rocked me last night, broke the bed. Oh, yeah, I banged David Lee, blah, blah. And then, and finally, I just went in and
David
said,
Lee.
David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth. Let's, David Lee Roth.
That's not a way.
I was able to pick up on
that. Thank you. Thank you.
David Lee probably stays a little more current than.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
What David Lee needs to have on his resume.
But she had a remember we had that chick on who was the groupie, Timmy, remember? Rita Ray Rocks.
Doug, do you remember us?
No.
Said she didn't. She didn't bang. She didn't bang a Bon Jovi because she was banging the guy with Rat.
Doug, Rat, a wonderful band. Your favorite Rat song, Round and Round. Exactly.
Okay. Iggy, we over the years we've had several trollops on the show, so it's hard to remember once. Right? I mean,
well,
you remember Rita Ray Rocks.
The only groupie we've had on. Anyway, we had her on, and all she did was try to re-up what the other chick said. She goes, well, I was with Billy Squire. I had him, too. I had him, too. Finally, I just said, you know what? This is called the woman. Women trying to listen to the station. You think women want to hear about who you banged in the 60s?
Well, maybe.
You know, talk about pap smears or something. Get into some women stuff.
I have to tell you, if I knew that was going on there, I would have been listening.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a bad show to me.
And but, I mean, you talk about great decisions. And, Iggy, you know I love you and I respect you. But if you're putting together a station aimed at attracting women and for women about lives of women, who should we get to be the executive producer, Iggy? Yeah.
That was a bad choice on their part. And I've already told Timmy that the worst decision I ever made in my life in this business.
Which was you left our show to do that, but it was a financial thing. I get that. I never, ever fault somebody for making a business
decision.
They
were giving out cars.
And it came down quickly.
Yeah, he was just throwing so much money around. I mean, I knew it wasn't
going to
last.
It wasn't going to me.
Whatever.
The whole thing.
I guess by definition it was supposed to be paid, and unfortunately there were some bounced checks. But in theory, on paper, they were throwing money around.
And the whole thing happened just as quick as a bolt of lightning. Sometimes you would rather suffer the near-death experience of electrocution from a bolt of lightning than lose $1 million from the strike.
And I just remember when that started up, all of a sudden, like, we just go about our business. We come in, we leave. Like, we don't bother anyone. All of a sudden, people were there would stare at us like we were felons.
And they were mad that we didn't hang around and just talk for an hour or two after the show.
He sent me emails. I still have a file for him. There was never any punctuation. God, I hope I still have them. But they're in a different folder. And just start yelling at me. And I would never respond because I'm just like, I don't need to respond to this guy, you know. Because I have my contract and he's, you know, what he is. And it would be the strangest damn thing. Just like apropos of nothing, there would be these weird emails that would come flying in. You know, poor Iggy.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
I would have listened to the show, though, if I would have known everybody was talking about who they were banging.
Yeah,
oh, if you'd have known what they looked like, you wouldn't have.
Oh.
You wouldn't want to know who they're banging.
Now, that was a shot.
Well, the best part was when we moved into Hampton and I had my own office where I could lock the doors because I didn't have 1,000 cackling hens coming, Iggy, we need this, we need this. Shut up, get out.
What kind of management is that?
I wasn't getting paid. What do I care?
Cackling hens.
Especially when you're at a station called The Woman. You're not supposed to refer to your on-air staff as cackling hens. On this show, that would be fine.
Sounds it was an experience.
Let's see. Let's see. Okay, so here's one. They wrote to Dan Marshall. I see two more people quit your radio station. Sounds like your vendetta against Tim is backfiring. You stupid MF-er.
Oh.
I look forward to seeing your stations fail, followed by your, and then it gets into other things. And it came, Doug, from Sook Deek Inc.
Oh, big corporation, probably.
And then Marshall sends it to me, and he writes, you may want to tell this douche, if you know him, that we fired them two employees. And yes, I'm reading this directly.
Them two.
They didn't quit. And by the way, there's never a period in the sentence. We are killing it right now with our new advertising partners. Sales have never been better.
Yeah.
And I'd just be in the middle of doing my show, and I'd start getting these emails. I'm like, what in the hell is this stuff?
Well, if you sell absolutely nothing for a long period of time, and then you go into that program where they were selling spots for like $1, I guess you could say sales have never
the
been better.
The woman station was just something that hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Doug, this one comes from I Hate Dan Marshall is the title of the email that was sent to Dan. Note to Dan, take me with a strap-on Marshall.
Okay.
Both your stations will fail shortly. I can't wait to see that happen. And then it goes back. Go back to things regarding Bubba the Love Sponge. I would love the chance to fight you. You got that. You suck worse than Prod Joe.
Wow.
And then he sends that to me. Great fans, what a loser. I am sure the Bank of America president would like to see his employees' words. I guess this came from somebody emailing from Bank of America. And I'm like, I have nothing to do with this. But then they get sent to me. And I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Well, he wanted you to tell your lemmings to stand down.
But I wasn't telling them to do it. I mean, we got nothing out of it. But that's what was going on for those months. And Roderick wasn't allowed back in the building for some reason.
Can you imagine one of the investment guys at Bank of America excusing himself from a client so he could get away and type that email and send it there from the company headquarters?
I'll tell you a quick story about bounced checks.
All right, if you would.
Well, I was two checks behind. And it was me and another girl. She was one check behind. But he refused to pay the first bounce check. He says, no, that didn't count. That wasn't a pay period where I didn't pay people. And I said, I'm looking at it right here. It's bounced. So he put enough money in the Triad account to cover me and this girl's check. Well, she was making more than me. So I said, hell with her. I got to the bank before her, and I cashed both of the bounce checks. She got there, and there was no money left. So she's, where's the money? Marshall's bitching at me. Where'd the money go? I said, I cashed both the checks, idiot.
You called him an idiot.
Well, you did not call him an idiot.
Yes, I did. I called him worse than that, trust me.
I'm sure, though, with your face and your expression, you called him an idiot.
So how did the girl feel when she got to the bank and there was nothing left for her? Bank of America.
He had to write her a personal check, which his wife was not happy about. I just told her, I said, I'm sorry, sweetie, but I got two checks here. I'm cashing them both. I'm sorry.
Sweetie. Now you've called her sweetie.
Idiot
on top
and sweetie.
Of the cackling.
I went from one idiot to a sweetie. No, that'll be a chapter, Tim.
That'll be a chapter? The woman, the chapter.
When's the book coming out? You
making
any real progress?
Well, whenever I'm done with this business, I'm not gonna publish it when I'm still working.
Well, you could market it while you're still working.
I market it all the time.
That's right.
It on the show.
I gotta say.
Well, that's what I mean. You need to have the book out when
What's
you're still working so you can talk about it.
What's the title?
Oh, I know the title.
Cackling Hens.
Thank you, Iggy. I love you.
Well, tell us.
Johnny Weir, Doug.
All right. You ever keep in touch with Johnny Weir, Iggy?
No, just right after the Olympics we touched base, but he's been busy. He's podcasting like the Dickens with him and that Tara Lipinski. They're all over
podcast?
The place. Yeah, him and Tara Lipinski.
What do they talk about on their podcast?
Weird stuff, stupid stuff, stuff they do every day.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Thank you, Iggy. I love you.
Love you, buddy.
There he is right there.
Iggy is the one behind Doug Bowling with Buds. Bowling with Buds.
Now, what is that exactly?
Bowling with Buds. It's our first annual Bowling with Buds. We're introducing the first annual Bowling with Buds tournament presented by Bud Select at St. Charles Lanes on January 28th. Register your team of five for $150 and get three games of bowling with shoe rental. There'll be three flights of winners, $5.90 beer and food specials, plus more. Coming out to St. Charles Lanes on January 28th from 1 to 5 to enjoy fellowship with other listeners and some $5.90 to fans. Now, at InsideSTL.com. Bowling with Buds.
Well, that sounds like fun.
We're getting a team.
Are we?
Yep.
Be you and Tim.
Cackling Hens is the name of our squadron.
All right. I just hope I can get some bowling shoes that slide instead of stick. Don't you hate that, Iggy, when you got a pair of bowling shoes that won't slide?
Well, my shoes are
like
pretty good. I don't really have that problem
shoes
with the shoes. It's usually the approach.
Yeah, Doug.
You're struggling with your approach? Are you saying that I shouldn't blame the shoes? It's my approach.
No, I don't want to get technical. If you got house rental shoes on, those shoes have probably been out in the rain. People wear them to their car, come back in. They're all. Those aren't the shoes that are going to make you slide, Doug. You need to buy a pair.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I don't bowl enough to buy a pair.
What size do you wear? I'll buy you a pair.
How much are bowling shoes, Iggy? Pair nine.
All right, I'll get you a pair for a pair for bowling with buds.
Tim,
really, you're size nine?
Yeah,
that's surprising.
Well, not
like,
really.
I'm like a 9.5. You're like six foot.
I'm 6'7".
Six seven.
I'm 6 foot 7 inches tall. I wear a size 9 boot.
Yeah.
Are bowling shoes as expensive as like dress shoes? Or can I get bowling shoes for $20? $30?
I've never paid for a pair of bowling shoes, but the ones that I wear now are probably $170.
Oh, jeez. Well, I guess I'll keep renting.
What about a custom ball, Iggy, where they drill the holes to size for your fingers? What does that cost you to get that done?
With the ball, or you already have a ball, you just need to get it drilled?
Anyone? No, you go to a bowling shop, and you're like, I like that one, the plexiglass with the pirate's face on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the size of my hand. Can you make it ordered to fit?
Yeah, those balls are very cheap, so you could probably get the ball and the drilling for, I don't know, $80.
Doug, next Christmas, get that for me.
Okay, well, you can rent them for nothing.
Yeah, but then there's all kind of disgusting matter in the holes.
What could possibly be in the hole?
Doug, they've done tests on
forensics.
How about
wash your hands?
Rental balls.
All right.
Yeah, but you wash before and after, but during, your hand is
right in the hole. And then you go and you eat the fries with it, and you've touched the fries where
you. And you know you got a bacteria festival is what you got.
Well, I guess you need a lot of wet naps or something. After each throw of the ball, you got to wash your hands.
That's why you get a custom ball. Keep your hands clean.
Okay.
The ball's clean.
Do you have a custom ball?
I'm talking to Iggy pricing it so you can get it for me next Christmas.
You're not going to have a custom bowling ball.
Can you get that for me for
Christmas?
No,
you don't bowl enough.
Let's do Secret Santa next year.
And
rob your neighbor. Yeah, let's do that on the show. Iggy, can you arrange that for us next year? Don't let us forget. Because you're like the Christmas guy. You gave us presents. Thank you for that.
Thanks for the socks, Iggy.
We could do a Secret Santa on the air next year.
Mm. Well, I won't be getting you an $80 bowling ball.
Why?
It's too expensive.
You wouldn't
maybe a bowling glove. How about that?
I don't use a glove.
Guys, Mickey Rooney's role as Mr. Yunioshi in Breakfast at Tiffany's, while offensive, got Ava Gardner to fall for him. However, I don't believe they ever consummated the marriage.
How would this guy know?
That's the doggone answer.
How would he know? Was he there? And what was offensive about the role?
Mr. Yunioshi sounds like he played a Japanese gentleman.
Mickey Rooney in the role of a Japanese gentleman.
Right.
A pale Caucasian gentleman.
That might have been the issue. Doug, have you ever sat down to watch the wonderful Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Just little snippets of it.
And do you remember Mickey Rooney's a Japanese man?
No, I don't. There were no Japanese. This may have been done, shot in the 40s, though.
And they weren't going out of their way to hire Japanese?
No, you wouldn't want someone Japanese in
and
a
so
major
you had
motion
to,
picture.
So you had to have Mickey Rooney. If you're going to have a Japanese actor, you have to go Mickey Rooney.
I would think so, yeah. I would think so. People weren't real happy with the Japanese in the 40s. We had some trouble back then, you know.
I read about it.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, the world is now a peaceful place and everyone gets along.
Well,
Doug, question, did Cary Grant really have a gentleman lover? Thanks, that's from River Phoenix.
I don't know.
A lot of questions from old-time stars today.
But we have an emailer who knows what Mickey Rooney did in the bedroom. He's confident about it.
What about that Troy Donahue?
Yeah, well, he was an A-lister there for a little bit.
Did he have several wives,
too? I don't know.
Well, that's kind of your thing.
Not Troy Donahue.
Troy Donahue walked in and wanted to pop in a VHS of Hoosiers. Would you watch it with him?
Probably would. He's not alive anymore, is he?
Tim was supposed to check on that.
I think he's going to be with us on Tuesday.
I'm just happy that Kirk Douglas survived 2016. Because he's coming up on 100, isn't he?
I don't know.
I mean, everybody else died in 2016. I was thrilled that Kirk Douglas and Betty White made it.
Someone did a GoFundMe to protect Betty White from 2016. I'm not kidding you.
The caller Adam says, Doug, you being a size 9 means your love is about 4 inches, and I'm okay with that. Is that a formula? Is that a scientific formula?
I don't believe it is, no.
Someone asked Doug, did Bing Crosby beat his kids? Why would they ask that?
Guys, Mr. Miyagi had a huge love. It was in the book but didn't make it into the movie. Thanks, the Jeffco gentleman. Mm-hmm. There was a Karate Kid book? And it mentions the size?
I think they just ad-libbed the movie as they made it. They didn't even write a script for the movie. Just show up. You can kick somebody. First we'll have you lose, and then you'll have you win, and we'll get some cheesy music. And there, we got a movie.
Wow, those are serious charges.
Thank you, Iggy, for sending me Tab Hunter's home phone number. Iggy is the best. Iggy, you're the best.
I just don't know why the relevance of Pat Morita's genitalia size would be brought up in the book on Karate Kid.
No, but I think people would have liked to have seen him get the Mickey Rooney role.
In Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Well, Mickey Rooney didn't need to play the Japanese fellow. To me, that's poor casting. It's poor casting. Now, maybe he was just a heck of an actor who could pull that off.
Look at IMDb, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and get to the bottom of this. I've just never seen the picture.
I've never seen it. I do know that if there were Breakfast at Tiffany's, and it doesn't matter what year it's in, Doug would have shown up and asked if anyone needed a ride to the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. They have some good spreads there for the crew. I can't watch some of those old movies. Some people talk about how great the old movies are.
They're terrible.
It's all talking. There's no action, all talking. And some of the acting is just horrendous.
Some people act like if it's a black and white film, it must be
artsy,
good.
Yeah. Well,
not really necessarily the case.
No.
And then the other extreme is the movies that are overdone, like a Star Wars. Rogue One.
Yeah.
Not a great movie, in my opinion.
Now, no. Doug, all right, I'm looking up Breakfast at Tiffany's. First of all, wonderful to know that George Peppard from the A-Team was the leading male.
Oh, yeah.
But, yes.
Pappy. They called him Pappy.
Mickey Rooney did star as Mr. Yuniyoshi, and the film was made in 1961. Was there still bitterness towards the Japanese in 1961?
Among some, I'm sure. But that would have been enough time to get over it to where you might want someone who looks a little bit more Japanese to play a role in a major motion picture.
Well, this Mr. Yuniyoshi thing really is eye-opening, isn't it?
How so?
Well, that Mickey Rooney played the role of a Japanese gentleman.
You think they put a lot of makeup on him? I mean, you can't just show up as looking like one of the Hardy Boys and say, I'm just here from Tokyo. You can't do that. It was probably the makeup that people found offensive now. At the time, it's so sure. Mickey Rooney's in everything. Why wouldn't he be in this?
What about Yul Brynner in The King and I?
Do you have a problem with that?
Well, why would I have a problem with that?
He wore the makeup to make him look of Asian descent.
Yeah, and he was bald-headed, too, wasn't he?
But no Asian in his background, I don't think, Yul Brynner.
I wouldn't think so, no.
He was good in Westworld, though.
Jeez, that's Mary and Joseph.
No.
Look at Mickey Rooney as Mr. Yuniyoshi.
Is that true?
Doug, my God, yeah. I actually have to tell you I'm legitimately offended, and I don't think I've ever been offended before. What in the hell? Who has Henshin's number? I realize he's Korean, but still I feel like he's going to be able to give us perspective on this.
They put the buck teeth in him, and they put the little round glasses.
What in the hell? My God.
Well, I guess we should remember that right now Japan is a major ally, and back then they were the hated enemy that people ridiculed.
In 61.
Probably 15 years later after what they did. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people that age especially didn't have any problem at all ridiculing them.
When you see that picture and you say, is there racism in our past? Yes.
Well, when somebody sneak attacks you and kills 3,500 people overnight, and then some of the things they did in World War II, and people of that generation lived through it, and some of them were there and came back, I don't think they had any problem at all making fun of the Japanese.
He played a bucktooth nerd and an offensive ethnic caricature, per the Boston Globe.
Yeah. Offensive now. At the time, I'm sure everyone got a big laugh.
Let's see. I'm trying to see what was said about it then. Mickey Rooney commented in 2008, Doug.
What do you have to say about it?
Said he was heartbroken about the criticism. Blake Edwards wanted me to do it because he was a comedy director. They hired me to do this overboard, and we had fun doing it. Never in all the more than 40 years after we made it, not one complaint. Every place I've gone in the world, people say, God, you were so funny. Asians and Chinese come up to me and say, Mickey, you were out of this world. Rooney also said that if he'd known people would be so offended, I wouldn't have done it. Those that didn't like it, I forgive them, and God bless America. Hey, yeah. That's kind of my one.
Well, that it only became...
God bless the universe, God bless Japanese. Now he's turning into Larry Nichols in his recap.
It only became offensive when we got hung up on this political correctness stuff. It used to be people could laugh at themselves and each other, and it was okay. And now when you're looking for reasons to be offended, you can find them.
That's yeah, but what about Jerry Lewis?
Lady! That guy.
I saw on someone had tweeted something about a week back. Jerry Lewis sitting down to do an interview, and he didn't.
I saw that too.
And he didn't
the
enjoy.
Seven most awkward moments of television ever.
Yeah, and he had something against this guy who was doing the interview, and the guy wasn't trying to get him on anything, but apparently Jerry Lewis didn't want to do it and was like, yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
Are we done?
Right.
It was pretty brutal.
And the poor guy, it sounded like he was a young guy. He kept going, trying desperately to get something, anything, and Jerry Lewis just couldn't have been a bigger jerk to him.
Tim, did you know that Audrey Hepburn's character experimented with tribbing in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I don't think so.
But it was in the book, and they didn't include it in the movie.
I don't know that
that's
true.
That comes from Dad's, quote, business partner.
I don't know that that's the case.
And I'm glad Brian Henson is not around to see the text line now. Because it's chock full of offensiveness.
You know,
Tim. This one, I.
Yeah, that's the picture that I saw.
I would.
No,
I would
look
just
at the text there.
When you're coming off a world war against an enemy that did some of the most despicable things in the history of human history, I don't think people apologized a lot for offending the Japanese at that time.
I think Mr. Miyagi was originally offered to Anthony Michael Hall, but he couldn't do it because of scheduling.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what the text line said. Well, I'm glad we could finally blow the lid off this injustice.
It's a topic that has needed to be explored for a long time, and a lot of people, KMWX included, are afraid to touch it.
Is that a laugh track?
I don't know.
They're using laugh tracks now.
But it wasn't until 2008 that people were offended by it?
Right.
That seems about right. Yeah, oh well.
That George Papard, huh? Tim, huh?
Is he still with us?
I don't know, but I'll check his net worth. That's really what I care about.
Now, people
He's
made
dead.
Fun of stupid and goofy acting Germans in Hogan's Heroes. That wasn't much longer.
What was his net worth?
After that movie was made.
Well, I mean, that whole Hogan's Heroes, let's do a sitcom about a prison camp in Nazi Germany. That was one where the network executives got together, didn't have any ideas. Someone threw some out, and they went, okay, lunch.
Yeah, sounds good.
Hogan!
Doug, back in Shakespearean, women's parts were all played by men. Thank you.
True. And if you go back to the early days of radio... In some of the early days of TV, we had guys wearing blackface. Amos and Andy wearing blackface doing a comedy.
Let's see what else we got. Guys,
bad.
Trey Parker played Kim Jong-il in the 2004 hit Team America. That's from D. Hippie.
George Papard was worth $5 million.
Everybody's worth $5 million, it seems.
Not me. Of course, I wasn't in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Or the A-Team.
No.
Doug, it's the BP credit card 7 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. The sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After as we broadcast live from Billy G's. For a limited time, open a new BP credit card account and get $20 paid as a statement credit after your first BP purchase. Within 60 days of opening a new BP credit card account, it's BP credit cards, the sponsor of the award-winning 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's subject to credit approval. See station for details. Offer valid through January 31st, 2017. Coming up on the program, don't forget, at 9 o'clock, listener rewards for friendlies South County goes live on InsideSTL.com. Get a $50 gift certificate, $50 of Friendly's Fried Chicken for only $25. How do you do? And we only have 50 to sell. So that goes online at 9 o'clock on InsideSTL.com. We'll take a break, come back with more Nick Whittery here on the Ryan Kelly